You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jose tries one. Deep to left field. LeCastro looks up. You've got to be kidding me. Sixth run. Bottom half of the night. Altuve's done it again.
I don't know, but that one kind of gave me a buzz, TK.
Yeah, I'm just choosing to ignore what happened yesterday with the Astros. And I'm just going to focus on how I felt last Monday, which was Jose Altuve hitting a three-run walk-off home run. Seth, on a day where Amy and I were in New York City, Jose Altuve hit a three-run walk-off home run against the Yankees. We were in New York City when that happened. We went to a Met game that day.
That's awesome. Yeah, and then you lit up a cigar in Times Square the next day.
I did the next day.
It's kind of a depressing Times Square right now. It's a little bit still COVID-ed out.
It is. But let me tell you, as we welcome you back in, especially literally welcome people back in who had not heard our voices in the last couple of weeks. Seth and I are both back from vacation today. That was probably the biggest moment that I had on vacation of something happening in sports where I'm like, kind of wish I was on the radio today. You know, talking about that Altuve home run, that had to be a really fun Monday. I listened in on the shows for a couple of segments while I was bumping around New York City. My favorite anecdote that came out of that Altuve home run from my trip to New York City, though, Seth, was when Amy and I were checking into our hotel. We checked into our hotel late Sunday afternoon, and we had gone to the Met game earlier in the day. So we were following the Astro game, like on the out-of-town scoreboard, and I was looking up there and going, oh, man, this sucks. They're getting blown out by the Yankees. They're going to get swept by the Yankees at home. And then we're on our way back to our hotel to check in on the subway, and Amy's like, the Astros scored six runs in the bottom of the ninth. They just won. Altuve hit a walk-off home run. I'm like, that is great. That is great news. We go to check into our hotel, and the bellman brings our bags up to the room. And he saw my truck. When he went and got the bags, he saw my truck, and he saw we were from Texas. He said, oh, where in Texas are you from? Said, well, we're from Houston. He goes, oh, I watched my boys beat up on your boys today the whole afternoon. And I chuckle, and I pulled out my phone, and I pulled out a tweet from, I think, Mark Berman of Jose Altuve's home run, and I showed it to him. I said, not all afternoon.
And
I tipped him double.
I
normally I tip the bellman $10. I tipped him $20. I said, I'm going to get way more than the extra $10 worth of mileage out of this story of you
this
putting
is,
the cart before the horse.
This is a double-edged sword of all of this, and this is what's so annoying about it, is that for one, I mean, Altuve is starting to own the Yankees in a way that is kind of freakish.
It's Pujols, I mean, over the Astros-like, in a way.
What's that?
It's kind of Pujols-like, what Albert Pujols used to be to the Astros back in the day.
Well, but, yeah, and to have these multiple walk-offs to the point where you can start power ranking the walk-offs.
Yeah.
Obviously, the 2019 ALCS is going to be the best one, but it's kind of freaky. Yeah, like in a football sense, I guess it would be like like T.Y. Hilton over the Texans in some ways, where he's just a guy single-handedly beats you and has his best games versus you. The difference being that Altuve is better at his sport than T.Y. Hilton is at his sport.
Right.
Like, Altuve is one of the very, very best. But the double-edged sword part of it is that it just makes the Yankees double down on making Altuve the face of the cheating scandal. Mm-hmm. I mean, Judge doing the Jersey troll in and of itself. Even though Judge knows damn well that there was no buzzer, even though Judge knows damn well at this point that Altuve didn't participate in the scandal, even though he knows all that, Judge, who's never done anything in the postseason from a team leader perspective, they haven't accomplished anything since he's been there, that he's still continuing to push that push those conspiracy theories forward. That annoys me because we know that the Yankees and New York in general ends up pushing a lot of the narrative for sports media in general, and it stays out there.
Yeah, and look, the bigger picture with the Yankees right now is they're not even that – they're not good this year. Like, Judge sitting there doing the jersey pulling thing would look tone deaf if the Yankees were in first place in their division. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it would look – it looks extremely tone deaf when you're not even in the playoff picture right now in the American League. Like, really, this is what's on your mind when you're hitting home runs? Is it you're holding your jersey? How about getting your record to, like, 500? Why don't you focus on that, Aaron Judge? Like, Judge is a baby. Judge, like, him taking down his congratulations of Jose Altuve on winning the MVP back when the sign-stealing was going down. And again, and your point is a great one, Seth. In the face of all the evidence that says Altuve wasn't even part of this thing, I would say, even if Altuve was part of this thing, that by now the Yankees have accomplished so little during this Aaron Judge era, we'll call it, that you need to turn the page. Like, focus on going and actually doing something yourself. Forget who was part of the cheating scandal with the Astros. Go win something of substance, period. But the fact that he's doing it and he's targeting somebody who, by all accounts, didn't benefit from the cheating, didn't even want the cheating. You know, he would get mad if he would hear a garbage can bang during one of his at-bats. Yeah, get bent, Aaron Judge. That's my take on that. But I was a little disappointed not to be here in studio when Altuve hit the walk-off. There are a few other topics that I was kind of following on Twitter. I'm like, would have been fun to be on the radio with Seth today. People got worked up about Bum Phillips getting put in the Titans Ring of Honor while we were gone.
Did they?
Yeah. And it was more like the John Lopez's of the world who were around here for the Bum Phillips era, but I feel like that would have been something a lot of our listeners would have had takes
on.
Yeah,
I guess, I mean, that falls into the category for me of it is what it is, because, yeah, that's what happens when franchises move. That's what happens when, people in Tennessee who basically know nothing of Bum Phillips are now honoring somebody that they don't know, and the fans really don't care all that much. Former Oilers are the same way. You know, when they're honored, they go to Tennessee, and for the most part, people in Nashville don't care as much as if, you know, if it were to happen here in Houston.
Yeah.
It's enough at this point that the Adams family and Bud Adams, what's the word I'm looking for? His descendants just flat out aren't going to give up any of the Houston history. So that's the price you pay when you lose a team. You know, the part about that came out of that, Sean, I was listening to some people discuss it. Oh, it was Andrew Brandt talking about it with Ross Tucker. Now that there are two teams in LA, and now that there's a team in Las Vegas, when people start talking about teams leaving, who are they threatening to go off to? Like, where are teams threatening to leave to?
Mm.
And it's not as simple as it was for a long time there. So I don't know if some of these teams, when they try to pound out concessions from the cities and tax breaks and all of that, I don't know if they have as much leverage as they used to.
I would say San Antonio would be one.
I don't know. Yeah.
You'd have to start talking with San Antonio. And I'm just trying to bring up the best ones. I mean, Seth, yeah, now that L.A.'s got a team, all the big cities are taken. San Antonio is a fairly large city that's in a very football-hungry state that has two teams that would be natural geographic rivals, at least right there in the state of Texas. I would imagine that the Texans and the Cowboys would probably they may not want a team in San Antonio. I think they like.
Jerry Jones definitely doesn't want
a team in
San Antonio. I mean, because that's mostly – it would hurt the Texans somewhat, but that's Cowboys territory.
Yes.
I think he'd be able to effectively block that.
Portland?
He's got so much leverage.
Portland? I mean, I don't know. Your point is a very valid one, which is, yeah, we're running out of major markets to plunk teams down in right now. In the NFL.
I'm going down through the list of major metropolitan areas to find one that doesn't have an NFL team. Orlando doesn't really count because there's Jacksonville. Tampa just down the road. I guess Sacramento at 20th. Could Sacramento support a football team?
I don't think so.
They're bigger than Portland sure as hell couldn't.
Yeah.
St. Louis, you get to St. Louis before you really have a major city, and I don't think anybody's ever coming back to St. Louis.
I think probably the biggest threat would be London. You know what I mean?
Like
if the NFL finally bites the bullet, says we're going to put a team in London, and it's going to be a team that's having trouble getting a stadium built, something like that.
Yeah,
that's the leverage.
And I don't know I don't think Houston will ever have to worry about it again. Maybe there'll be a change in ownership at some point. With the Texans, I don't know, but I'd have a hard time seeing the Texans being, even if things got really dire over the next several years, from a team success standpoint, even if attendance was really bad, I think it's entrenched enough that nobody in Houston has to worry about it.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. I would say that the other stories that seem to get a lot of traction while you and I weren't here that would have been fun to be here for, when the Texans announcing training camp would be pretty much a season ticket holder only thing, got a lot of people very worked up, both people who like to go to training camp who can't afford or maybe don't have season tickets, and then I think just people in general who are going to view every decision the Texans make right now through a very, very, I'll call it a very skeptical prism. You know, I'm being kind when I say that. It's probably a lot more vitriol involved than just your garden variety skepticism.
This is something, and this is a trend that I'm not a fan of, and it's not just the Texans, it's teams in general closing their doors to practices, and a lot of it is driven by paranoia by football coaches. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to deal with that many people seeing things, to which I would reply, like, listen, buddy, like, get with the times. It's all out there anyway. I mean, like, if there's any fans at all, somebody's going to have a smartphone and you can control it somewhat, but just go out and practice your football plays. You're not actually that smart. You're not disclosing the earth-shattering secrets that the rest of the world has never seen before. It's football. And I'll go back to, like, when I was a kid, just in high school and college, I used to go watch the free football practices at Fredonia College to watch the Bills play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was I almost feel like it's for teams that get so many tax breaks and so many benefits and so many just free passes locally, it's almost a civic duty that you should at the very least allow fans to go watch your training camp practices.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. It's your civic duty. And to kind of close ranks and turn it into just like, oh no, this is only for the folks that have plunked down a lot of money already, including money for meaningless preseason games. We're gonna keep it to that exclusive club. I don't see how that's growing your fan base, especially amongst younger kids.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a lot of reasons they opted to do it, the Texans. It had a feel, just as in reading a headline and reading the headline and the reaction to it. It had very much a you're either with us or against us kind of thing. You know what I mean?
That's how it was interpreted by a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a team that's struggling to keep its season ticket base intact right now. You know what I mean? So it's and I'll say this about the Texans though, and I don't know if this is in their defense or if this is just an observation, but I do know they've been trying for a few years now to try to make season ticket holders to try to make the value of being a season ticket member. To try to enhance that with different things. And I know that because I'm married to one. You know what I mean? They've been trying to do it with different events or different just more of a voyeuristic look at what goes on with the team, exclusive Zoom calls and experiential things. They've been trying to do that for a while now with season ticket members. It's just now they're doing this at a time where a lot of these decisions they make like this are going to get viewed with a ton of scrutiny.
I saw somebody on social media, I wish I could remember, maybe I saw it from multiple people, say that their little theory or conspiracy theory about it was, one, maybe you're going to be limiting like the potential number of people that might be there just to either protest or if Deshaun shows up, that's who it was. Okay, somebody, remind me if somebody said it, that what if Deshaun Watson does report to camp? And then you have people like basically protesting the fact that you have somebody who's being accused of these things out there or what have you, that perhaps you can try to control that. I don't know. I feel like that's a little bit of a reach. But there is also just that, okay, are you keeping the dissatisfied masses away? I think that might be a little bit of a reach too. I don't know how many people are going to show up to 98 degree weather to just specifically to express their distaste with the Texans at that point.
Well, what does that percentage look like of people who, if they were allowed at training camp, would be disappointed that Deshaun Watson is there? I've got at least a small sliver of the fan base that has weighed in on that. We'll tell you what the percentage is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Good to be back. Seth and I both back from vacation today. Appreciate the kind words. Appreciate all the hosts who filled in for us as well while we were out. Vanessa Richardson, Wade Smith, Cecil Shorts, Jeremy Branham, Sean Bajani, and Brandon Scott also sitting in while we were gone. We thank all of you guys for doing that and holding it down. Did a great job. I put up a poll earlier today, Seth, as you and I were talking about, okay, what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson next week when the Texans open camp, when Camp Caserio begins next week, and nobody will be bringing you inside camp more than us here at Sports Radio 610. What would the reaction from fans be about Deshaun Watson possibly playing for this team this year? You know, if the Texans don't move on from him, but the league hasn't done anything. If the league doesn't do anything, then July 27th is going to arrive next week when players are set to report. The first practice is the 28th, and Deshaun Watson has a contractual obligation to show up for training camp. Otherwise, he starts accruing fines and could have to give back bonus money. And that appeared to be the direction it was going to go before all the lawsuits started flying. Actually, the direction it was going to go is he would have been traded by now, probably. But I asked Texan fans, would you rather have one more season of Deshaun Watson and whatever chance there is of reconciliation long term, or move on from him now and start your rebuild ASAP? And as of right now, it's 62%. We're up to almost 1,000 votes. 62% say we're ready to move on and start rebuilding ASAP. Only 38% say they would want Deshaun for one more year and whatever small likelihood there is that the two sides could reconcile. This kind of plays into what you were talking about towards the end of the last segment, Seth, where we were talking about the Texans opening up training camp to, by and large, just season ticket members, where you said that there had been some folks speculated that one of the reasons might be, could people show up to training camp and protest having Deshaun Watson back with the team, given what he's been accused of, and probably the fact that we would not have resolution by the time training camp rolled around on that as well. 62% of the people at least fit into a category of where they don't want to look at Deshaun Watson in a Texans uniform anymore.
I guess the other interesting thing would be, okay, what would that poll look like if just out of the blue Deshaun Watson came out this afternoon and said, hey, you know what, for one, I accept responsibility for getting into this situation, you know, without admitting guilt or anything, because who knows what's going on with all of that. But I accept responsibility for getting into the situation. But I'm recommitted. I've had a heart-to-heart with Cal McNair and David Culley, and I want to be back with the Texans. Like, what? How would it change then? Because I think there's still going to be a lot of people holding back, and understandably and rightfully so, on, okay, well, wait, let's see what happens with these sexual assault lawsuits. But if that were all cleared up and you actually somehow felt good about Deshaun and whatever happened there, would you then be okay with Deshaun coming back? I think the numbers would skew.
Yes.
But I do think, yeah, I think there are a certain number of people that are just completely out on him and don't want the drama and don't want all of this. Because this is really, I mean, for as much as I blame the Texans for a lot of the stuff that happened in the last 2 years, there's also been a whole lot of drama that's all purely put out there by Deshaun now over the last few months. And you get tired of that. You get tired of a guy that's kind of melodramatic to begin with all of his talk of being legendary and everything. You know, it's a little bit annoying, but you kind of just brush it aside when you like him and you want him to be your quarterback. Mm-hmm. As soon as he starts to do all this other stuff, as soon as he starts to do this stuff on the legal side of things and wanting to be away from the Texans, all of that other stuff about talking how legendary he is and how great a year he's having statistically, that all gets a lot more annoying too.
Yeah, yeah. Then I never thought I'd say this, but there is an element of Deshaun Watson where he's got certain characteristics that you kind of overlook if he's your guy. You're like, oh yeah, you know, like he talks about his stats or he says this be legendary when they're 4-12. But he's our guy, you know. It's kind of like the flavor of what I talked about earlier with Chris Paul. It's obviously different stuff, but Chris Paul has a lot of tendencies, mostly as a player, where, boy, I really don't like Chris Paul very much. Oh, he's a Houston Rocket? Oh, go Chris Paul. He's our guy. You're absolutely right. So, yeah, so it's 62-38 right now on the poll for that.
How's LeBron James doing on that front in L.A.? Remember all the friction there was about people just, you know, they needed to be damn sure that you weren't claiming he was Kobe or something when he first got there. And there was a healthy skepticism in L.A. about LeBron James. Has that gone away with the title, or are people in L.A. also as annoyed by LeBron right now as so many other people are?
Yeah.
Because he just got – Sean, when they showed him during Game 5 the other night, my first response, I monitored myself. When they showed him with his, like, mask half down, I was like, ugh, LeBron. Like, here we go. Space Jam's coming out. Like, why? How? Most guys get less annoying as they get older. Yeah. Why has LeBron gotten more annoying as he's gotten older?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, I think some of it is, I think for some folks, it's some maybe misguided opinions he's put out there. You know, his whole thing on freedom of, you know, the whole thing with China and him going after Daryl Morey and the freedom of speech and all that stuff.
Like, or think, holding books as props, like instead of actually reading the books, stuff like that. Yeah, it's just he's somehow gotten more full of himself as he's gotten older. Where usually most guys are getting more mature and more wise, more selfless or whatever. It seems like he's gone full bore into being LeBron and lauding LeBron more than anything else.
You asked the question. Question in the last segment, what other cities are still available? We got talking about Bum Phillips going into the Titans Ring of Honor and just what a very weird thing that is. And it's something that has Houston people very emotional because Bum Phillips has no ties to the city of Nashville. You, Seth, brought up Andrew Branko. And man, there's probably not a lot of movement that's going to go on with teams, with LA now having two teams, Vegas having a team, not a lot of places to go.
Teams moving to other teams. There's no place to go anymore.
Right. We brought up
teams moving to other cities. Other cities. There's no other cities now.
Yeah, someone brought up Toronto. Toronto is a big market.
Toronto's a big market. Now, the most likely team to move to Toronto would be Buffalo, and it's, you know, they flirted with that at times before. I think the fear was that Bon Jovi was going to move the team to Buffalo if Bon Jovi had bought with his group. I think that the Bills are firmly entrenched in Buffalo, and I think they view Toronto as their market. So I don't know if that would happen. Yeah. I'd be surprised if that would happen.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. Someone said, have you covered Have you covered Busby, his Insta-troll post about his massage? Sorry, just tuned in. I have to go check that during the break, Seth. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Tony Busby was trolling on Instagram.
Is he? So he must have just. Yeah, I guess he maybe had a massage or something. That was my. If he did that within the last hour, he might have done that because he was listening to the program, and I said that maybe Davis Mills should do something like that.
Yeah, you suggested Davis Mills, that.
Yeah, Davis Mills needs to go and do something like have a massage out in a place where, you know, like some place where it's very, very public, like at a resort or something where they have those canopies or something.
Yep.
To where there's not going to be any shenanigans.
Yep. Got to mention here, if you are a if you are a Rocket fan especially, because we know the Rockets have the second pick, the 23rd pick, and the 24th pick, and you're looking for some mock draft coverage for the NBA draft, which is next week, by the way. It's next Thursday, the 29th, and we'll be covering that here for you on Sports Radio 610 on Thursday night. There's a podcast called the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast presented by the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey. It starts today, and it's 5 days long. It's a download each day this week, the biggest mock draft event of the year, and we've got all of our Odyssey NBA experts, former GM Ryan McDonough, NBA champion Brian Scalabrine, Coach Jimmy Patsos, all joined by NBA draft expert Chad Ford to bring analysis for each pick. So you get to go deeper than ever. I mean, this is the thing if you're a Rocket fan, especially the number two pick in the draft, kind of a big deal. It's the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by the Locked On Podcast Network and Odyssey on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. Listen now with the Odyssey app. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. All right, I saw something over the weekend on the last night of my vacation that I need Seth's opinion on. Was this a serious, serious societal man foul that was committed by a group of people in the French Quarter? That's next.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So Seth and I are both back today. It's good to be back. And Seth, on Saturday, Amy and I were driving back. We were in Atlanta Friday night. We went to a Braves game. And then the drive from Atlanta to Houston is about 11 hours. And you pick up an hour coming this way, time zone-wise. So it was reasonable to think that we could have gotten back to Houston by, you know, Saturday night sometime. And you got all day Sunday to unwind. So we kicked the idea around to doing that as we were driving back. And then, it's weird, man. You drive by New Orleans, and all of a sudden, your involuntary muscle reaction is for the steering wheel to just steer you right into the French Quarter and stay at the JW Marriott in the French Quarter. And that's what we wound up doing. We wound up in the French Quarter in New Orleans on Saturday. And on a vacation where I probably needed to spend Saturday and Sunday drying out, I got the most bombed that I got the entire trip on the final night of the trip in New Orleans.
That's bad news, Sean. Sean, that's like you decided, like, in the 25th mile of a marathon to just go ahead and do some burpees or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, oh, we're almost there. Yeah. Let me just go ahead and tempt fate here.
Yeah. Oh,
no, I don't need any Gatorade for the last mile. Dude, I'll be fine. And then you cramp up and you're like that woman staggering to the triathlon finish. Yeah.
And Amy kind of stayed in her shoes a little bit, and I was out of control, and she was, I think I kind of embarrassed her because I was singing along with dueling pianos, and I was drinking out of gigantic glow in the dark chalices. All the things that tourists do in the French Quarter, I was doing.
It sounds like something like a Homer Simpson drunk, like
yes.
Where you were.
yes, yeah.
You see surveillance footage of it later, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's me.
She showed me a video she took of me singing "Sweet Caroline" at the dueling piano bar, and I told her, don't ever show that. I would rather watch a sex tape of myself than watch me singing "Sweet Caroline" in the French Quarter, bombed on whatever blue concoction they gave me at the bar we were at. But here's a question I wanted to ask you. We were at one particular establishment, don't remember which one it was, but there was a crew of about 10 guys there who were all in the same traveling party because it was clearly one of the guys' bachelor parties. The reason I knew it was one of the guys' bachelor parties, in fact, I know his name is Riley, R-E-I-L-L-Y. His name is Riley. And the reason I know this is because his entire traveling party had on matching t-shirts that said Riley's Brew Crew on the front of them with like a cartoon of a beer mug. And they were all just matching generic white t-shirts that said Riley's Brew Crew. They all had them on. And then Riley himself had on a green t-shirt. And on the back it said Riley. And on the front, yeah. it said something like final trip with the crew before I say I do, or some weird.
Were they wearing tiaras too? And did Riley have the biggest tiara of them all? They didn't do that,
dude.
That's a bachelorette party thing, right?
Like it's you see the bachelorette crew. Party. That's why I said to Amy, I'm like, this is something that women do at bachelorette parties. It's acceptable. This is unacceptable for a male bachelor party.
There might be. You should have asked one of those guys if there was a backstory to it. Because my first thought is, all right, maybe they've got a member or two of the party that has a tendency to get lost or wander off or something.
Yeah.
So there's that. Maybe there's an interesting backstory behind it. And then two is that maybe they were doing it ironically. Like, okay, we know this is cheesy, but whatever. We don't care. We're just gonna be goofy about it. Could you tell? Did they look like amateurs, Sean?
They did. Yeah, they did.
They looked
like a bunch of dudes that were not. They looked like they had the proper level of self-awareness that would wear those shirts, not ironically at all. That would wear them. they think they're appropriate because we have to represent. We're Riley's Brew Crew.
Yeah. Did it look like maybe they just came from a softball game? Like, that would be okay. Like, did they go straight from a softball game to
They didn't. Several of them had nice, you know, kind of jeans.
They look
on
like they're on a field trip to the zoo with their summer recreation
yes,
program.
Yes, they look like they were seven. That's what they looked like. All right, so you're with
they
me.
Should have brought, maybe that was part of it. Maybe they had like a camp counselor stripper type theme coming going on.
Yeah,
going
I don't
on
know.
Something.
And Riley looked like he was like 23 years old, but already had a dad bod, like one of those things. Like Riley did.
Oh
not,
yeah, that's
he didn't look like
it's going around these days. You see a lot of it.
At age 23.
Frankly, I see a lot of junior high kids with dad bods these days.
Yeah, that's true. So it's damn video
games. A lot of sedentary behavior and a lot of it's a good, well-priced snack food.
True. I think the other thing, just in you know, as you know, Amy and I, we hit 19 states. We went over 4,000 miles. We were all over. Went to a bunch of ballparks. We almost got deliveranced, though, in upstate New York. In a small town called Liberty, New York. We were on a hike. We picked some different hiking trails each day so we could get our steps in. And Liberty, New York, it's very rural, had some hiking trails. But it seems kind of impoverished. You know, a lot of squalor and things like that. And at one point we were on a trail hiking, and it was a fairly secluded trail, and out of nowhere over an embankment comes some dude with maybe five teeth, the rest of them were eaten away by meth, wearing a white tank top t-shirt on a four-wheeler. And he hopped the embankment, kind of sneered at us, and went down the path that we, like he sped off down the path that we were heading down. We decided it would be a bad idea for us to continue in the same direction as him on the path, so we decided to turn around and start walking back towards where we had parked. And we still had a ways to go to get back to our car where it was parked, but meth guy actually made a slow trip back and decided to creep behind us by about 200 yards for about the last quarter of a mile that we were walking. We got to civilization again, the street where our car was parked, and he kind of peeled up to us, did like a little loop about 10 feet away from us, looked at us, sneered with his methed out smile, and sped off into the woods.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Whoa.
I feel
what
like
the hell? It was on a public trail. It wasn't like you were trespassing or anything.
Right. It was a public trail. It was called the Liberty Rail Trail. It was on a public trail.
Liberty now, sounds like this is the thing. Is Liberty always been named Liberty? I'd be nervous if like they changed the name like a year ago because it's like a states' rights type of thing or something like that. Then you might need to be nervous that, like you were about to interrupt a militia party.
Yeah, dude, it was a little scary. I'm like, hey, how you doing, buddy? You know?
Yeah, people don't know like upstate New York is beautiful. And it's very rural in most places,
yeah.
But it also has, it's like anywhere else in America. You go anywhere in America, it doesn't matter what the name of the state is or whether it's north or south or anything. You got some backwoods types out there that you just never, they could make you disappear real quick.
Yeah.
It's a little bit scary.
That's what it looked like with this guy.
Is that on the, it's not on the Appalachian Trail where you were or anything, is it?
No, we at one point drove along the Appalachian Trail. We did not walk along it. When we were driving through, where's the Appalachian Trail, like through the Carolinas and Virginia?
It goes all the way from Maine down to Georgia.
Yeah, we were in part of that. Yeah, we went to a minor league game in Asheville, North Carolina, beautiful mountain country in the in the Appalachian Mountains. So that was it was nice. We saw some Astros single A players play.
I saw a bear.
I was
walking along a stream. I didn't just see a bear, Sean. I had a bear encounter.
During our vacation?
Yeah, I was up on my my in-laws' land and on my father-in-law's farm, and it was raining real hard, and there's some drainage issues up here. Kind of trying to help figure out, like, they've got various ditches dug around the property because it's on a big hill. So I was kind of walking along the path or walking along this drainage ditch. And in the rain, in the middle of a rainstorm, I've got my wife's raincoat like over my head. I didn't have a raincoat for myself, so I wear it like a shawl, like I was Little Red Riding Hood. So I'm skulking along this drainage ditch like Little Big Riding Hood, and I get to this tall grass to where the ditch leads into a stream. And I'd never, I'd been there before, but I'd never actually followed this ditch all the way to the stream to see where it entered. So I was like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and go through this grass. And I could see where there was some grass trampled down where I thought some deer had maybe bedded down the night before or something. So I started to go off into this little area where there's some matted down grass. And about, genuinely not trying to exaggerate here, I'm trying to be honest as possible, I would say 7 or 8 feet in front of me, a black bear pops up out of the grass. It was like standing right in front of me.
A black bear?
And it was...
Was it a cub or a legit bear?
I would say that it might have been like maybe a year or two old. Because it wasn't... Now, black bears aren't as big as you think they're going to be. They're not grizzly sized or anything. They're not huge bears. But it was standing up and it was almost to eye level with me when it was on its hind feet. And my thought was... All right, my first thought was like, oh, that is a cute bear.
Right.
And then I realized how close I was to it.
Cute it was?
Yeah, yeah. And then I kind of like, you know that in situations like that, your judgment's a little bit off. So in my mind, I was like, all right, I'm like, am I overestimating the size of that bear? Because it's either big enough to do some damage to me, or it might actually be a young bear, and maybe its mom is still around.
So
that's when I got my wits about me, and I was like, oh, crap. Like, I kind of turned away and started backing away, looking for the mom. And then when I looked back, the bear wasn't there.
Right.
So I think it took off, like, quietly into the brush. It was really heavy brush right there. So that's the closest I've ever been to a black bear in nature. And I wish I could embellish it more, like maybe it has tried to step towards me or something, but it was a very, it was cute more than anything.
It was a fairly docile bear.
But it's weird, because I grew up in that area.
Yeah.
The first 22 years of my life, I lived up in that area. I walked through the woods all the time. I went hiking and camping a lot, and I never had an encounter with a bear quite like that. But then I was up in New York for a week in upstate New York, and I had that bear encounter, and then another time I was standing in my in-law's driveway going out to the car to get something, and I heard something that sounded like a calf almost or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I look up, and this fawn had, like, trotted right up to me.
Hmm.
Like, a fawn was, I could have reached out and touched the fawn, but I was being very quiet and careful because I was like, oh, my gosh, look at this. It's nature's majesty, all that stuff. And I also felt like the fawn maybe thought I was its mother and wanted to suckle me. And I thought, like, do I let this deer suckle me?
Right.
And what's that going to look like on video if somebody catches it?
Right. Am I into it? Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's when I realized, like, the actual sound was coming from the mom itself. It's like calling out to its fawn.
Really?
The mom showed up. And they both took out the birth mother, as I like to call her.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be the adopted mother, but the birth mother showed up.
Right.
And the fawn ran off with the birth mother. So same thing. I'd never once in my life had a fawn run up to me that close. Wow. And the entire 22 years that I was a full-time resident of that area. But now, so like in the course of 3 days, I had a bear encounter and a fawn encounter.
That's funny because I've never had a methed out hillbilly get as close to us as happened in Liberty, New York. And it happened last week as well.
Oh, see, now that's the opposite for me. I've had plenty of those experiences. I used to work with those people. That was the that was pretty much my right. whole upbringing. It was like learning how to learning how to teach people how to work on a farm who probably shouldn't be around heavy machinery, but there they are.
We're getting a lot of people weighing in on whether it was appropriate for Riley's Brew Crew to be wearing T-shirts at a bachelor party outlining that they are indeed Riley's Brew Crew. Someone said, we dressed up as dads for my buddy's bachelor party, and the chicks all loved it.
Yeah, that's a good – you got to remember that, too. There's a peacocking element out there. These kids are smarter these days than we were, Sean.
Yeah.
You know, we'd see a guy walk into a club, you know, shirtless, wearing a boa around his neck or something, claiming to be heterosexual, and we'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, now people are like, oh, yeah, he's peacocking.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
We didn't have it down to a science the way these kids do.
Yeah. Someone says Bass Ackwards Woods people are like bullies. If you stand up to them and knock them down, they'll go away.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that advice. That's only true when it's true. And when it's not true, you're screwed.
Right. Someone in the same person says, same person texts, ... or they bring their entire army.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
They've got guns.
Yeah.
They might not have ammo right this moment, but they've got guns.
They've got guns.
A little pistol whip you.
I'll tell you what, the other thing, Seth, as you mentioned, we went to 4 Major League Baseball parks, and they were all nice. We went to Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, City Field where the Mets play, in Atlanta, and they were all very nice parks. They're all fairly new. Cincinnati and Atlanta especially are in really cool parts of town where they built up everything around it, and they've got all sorts of bars and restaurants, and the go out after the game factor is very high in both of those ballparks, which was really, really cool. But of the ballparks themselves, just the stadiums themselves, and I say this knowing full well that Minute Maid, I think, is older than all 4 of those stadiums we went to. We got it really good here, man, with Minute Maid Park. We really do. It's easy to get around inside the park. It's easy to get in and out of the area for a big city like ours to park near the park. Like I've now been to about 2/3 of the stadiums that currently exist in Major League Baseball, and I tell you, if you haven't traveled outside of Houston to go to Major League Baseball games, one, do it. It's a fun experience. It's great, especially when you tell them you're from another city. Most fan bases like the fact that you're visiting their ballpark. If you're just there as a neutral observer, you're not rooting for a team. But two, we got it really good here, man. We got a really nice spot.
Were you nervous at the Mets game at all about being it's not like you're – who are the Mets playing?
The Mets were playing the Pirates.
Yeah, so it's not like you're showing up with a Pirates jersey on or anything like
that. No, but what's funny about that is
it wasn't like you were going to an Astros game at the Mets stadium.
No, and here's the funny thing, and we joked about this. Amy and I joked about this, and we tweeted it out. We went on it was Jacob deGrom jersey day, and so we immediately put on our Jacob deGrom jerseys just so we would blend in with everybody. You know what I mean? Like, we made sure we weren't going to get the crappy, even though we were just wearing neutral T-shirts, you know?
Yeah, I was confused when I saw that picture. I thought that you guys actually owned Jacob deGrom jerseys.
No.
Not that you were giving them when you walked in. You said, yeah, we put on our jerseys. Like, oh, good. I'm glad you remembered to bring your DeGrom jersey.
Right.
That was almost a bad oversight by you.
Would that be the ultimate front-running move? Like, what jersey did you buy? Oh, Jacob DeGrom, the guy who's got the best ERA since the dead ball era. Yeah, he's my favorite player of all time. Oh, he's on the injured list? Oh, sorry. Oh, my favorite player now is Shohei Ohtani. Yeah, sorry.
It's going to show up the next time the Astros play the Mets and you tweet out something nasty about the Mets. Some Mets fan is going to be going through and searching and find a picture of you in that. And they're going to be, you're going to get the old, this you tweet.
They're
call you a fraud. Yeah.
I got to go delete all those pictures. So do the Astros get back on track these next few games?
They'll be fine. For one, Bregman at some point here will start his minor league rehab rotation, and he'll probably come back. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Bregman's a notoriously slow starter. But he's got all that behind him now. He'll probably end up hitting 400 in his first 20 games back. That will also spark Correa Altuve, everybody else, Kyle Tucker, Yuli, they'll all start looking like the peak versions of themselves.
Okay, that's the other thing, is you were kind of going through the Astros sort of situation, like all the, you know, you were kind of taking a quick inventory there of the guys on the team. Let me just tell you right now that the Astros bullpen problems are not that bad, okay? Three of the four games we went to, Seth, the bullpens of the teams that were leading the games, in some cases leading them by significant amounts of runs, three of the four games we went to, the bullpens blew the games in the last three innings of the games. That Atlanta bullpen is awful. They had some dude named Minter come in, and he could not find home plate. Like, he was brutal. This is against Tampa Bay, and he was giving up. He was walking guys. He was awful. He's giving up runs. They bring in this guy named Luke Jackson from the bullpen. He's got some huge intro video where they use a lot of Star Wars stuff with Luke, and they make it look like this guy's amazing. And he comes in, and on the first pitch, beans a guy. Like, these teams, like the Astros, they've got bullpen issues. I mean, obviously, but they're not nearly as bad as we kind of make them out to be compared to the.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to tell you, speaking of pitching, that I found my spider tack that had gone missing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Conveniently enough, do you know when I found it?
When?
The day after Garrett Cole pitched against the Astros. I don't
like
know where my spider tack went off to,
yeah,
or what happened, or why it would mysteriously reappear after Garrett Cole left town.
Garrett Cole's a
thief. But there you have it.
Garrett Cole's a thief. All right.
Seth, I'm going to bring it up to Texans camp when we're out there next week.
Oh, awesome.
I'm going to have some of the players mess around with the spider tack, see if it helps.
Do it. Yeah. Seth, antibodies to you.
Sure, that's exactly what Nick Caserio and David Culley want right now.
Right.
More stuff heaped onto the pile.
Yeah, spider tag accusations. Seth, antibodies to you. It's good to see you again, my friend.
Antibodies and a pleasant and firm and strong grip to you as
Thank
well.
Thank you very much. Okay, I don't know what that is.
It's just so hard.
Oh, yeah. For Pete's sake.
So hard to grip them all.
For Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake.
Yeah, gum it. All right, In the Loop is up next. We will be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. We'll see you then. Have a great day, everybody.
Believe it or not, he's an All-Star. Can you believe they let this collude into the All-Star game?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.